The first church that John's writing, Jesus dictated, Holy Spirit gave it to John. So this is the letter from the Lord himself. Ephesus is about 100 miles from the Isle of Patmos, about 90 miles west of Laodicea. They're all kind of in a cluster. And it's interesting that there's seven churches. Billy mentioned about the number seven in the Bible. It's always a perfect number. Some believe because it's north, east, south, west, four. And then the Godhead, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, three. So three plus four is seven. Or three times four is 12. And the number 12 pops up as much as the number seven. We know one thing. It always means completeness or fullness. So the seven churches of Asia. The first one he writes to is the church at Ephesus. Look here, chapter 2, verse 1. To the angel of the church at Ephesus. The word angel means messenger. It always has, always will. And maybe he's writing to the preacher there. Some believe he is. I think Vine says that, and maybe some others. Whoever he's writing to needs to heed what he has to say. These things saith he who owns the seven stars, his right hand, who's in the midst of the seven golden lampstands. The first sermon I ever preached was Matthew chapter 5. Let your light so shine. And always remind me of the seven lampstands. We all are lights. And who holds the light in his hand? Who holds the seven stars in his hand? Well, that's the Lord himself. The Lord can remove the candlestick. And that's what they were in danger of. Here's a church that's doing stuff. I mean, they're having vacation Bible school. They're having door knocking. They're doing a lot of things. But there's something missing in the church at Ephesus. We'll get to it, but I'll just go ahead and tell you. It's their love. They've left their first love. Our first love should be the Lord. Of course, the first commandment is to love the Lord thy God with all your, what? Heart, soul, and mind, okay? Second like unto it, love your neighbor as yourself. They had lost their love. We can do all kinds of church things and not have the love in our heart, and it really renders the work nil and void. We need to be able to love each other. To love those who are lost, to love those who are members, brothers and sisters. And if we don't have this love, then what we do is of no real effect. Just because we do a lot of things, just because we do the right things. And they were doing the right thing. I mean, there wasn't a question about their worship like it was at Corinth, Lord's Supper. There wasn't a question about the Spirit as it was, Corinth again. There wasn't a question about this or that. It was about their love, and they had lost that. Let's go on. He who walks in the midst of the seven golden lampstands, in his right hand, that's the hand of power usually, holds these golden lampstands. Verse 2, I know your works. That's kind of sobering. Does the Lord know about the church at university? Yes or yes? Absolutely. Does the Lord know about your work in the church at university? Yes or yes? Absolutely. The Lord knows about what goes on at university. He knows what I say about the preachers. He knows what I say about the elders. He knows what I say about the deacons. He knows what I say about the members. The Lord knows what's going on at the University Church of Christ, doesn't he? Yes? He knew about the church at Ephesus. I know your works, your labors, your patience, that you cannot bear those who are evil, that you've tested those who say they're apostles and are not, and have found them liars. Is all that good? Is all this good so far? Yeah, it's all good. Man, you're doing a lot of good things. What are you doing? Well, you're laboring. You have patience, forbearance. You cannot, those who are evil, you have to say something about that. That's good. You've tested those who say they're apostles. There were men who called themselves apostles back then. Are there apostles today? Are there men who call themselves apostles today? Yes or yes? Yeah, you can go on TV and find apostle so-and-so and so-and-so. Well, these men call themselves apostles, but they're not. He found them to be liars. How many apostles were there originally? 12. And then Judas dies. And then who takes his place? Matthias, okay. And who's the 14th apostle? Paul. And that's all we know about apostles. And so these came in saying they were, well, what, when they say they're apostles, you see, they can bring in any false ideas they have, any idea about what the church is or should be or ought to be doing. They can bring that in and say, listen, I'm speaking from authority. Well, they were tested. What are the tests to be an apostle? Are there any? Other than the fact that you call yourself an apostle? Okay, had to see Jesus after his resurrection. Full of the Holy Spirit. Where is that found? Wednesday night study. Where is that found? Book of Acts, isn't it? Remember when they're going to select Matthias? They said, we've got to find men who company with us in the beginning and to the end, who've seen Jesus, who are full of the Holy Spirit, good men, good report. Those are found in Acts chapter 1. And that's the qualifications. How did Paul qualify? Well, the Lord had to appear to Paul, Saul, on the road to Damascus for him to qualify to be an apostle. You see that? So all those qualifications, they found them. So I guess they tested against those and found them to be false or to be liars. And you have preserved and have patience and have labored for my name's sake and have not become weary. So good job, church. Keep it up. Keep checking people out. Find the truth. It's amazing to me how an individual can lead a whole church astray. Any of you remember the crossroad movement down in Gainesville, Florida? Yeah, a few of you. We were living in Milton at the time, which is only about 30 miles from Gainesville. And the church at Crossroads was called liberal. Oh, they're a liberal church. They were anything but liberal. They were dogmatic. They were ultra conservative. You become a member of that church, you're assigned a prayer partner, and that prayer partner would follow you and want to know what you want. You have to repeat, tell them at night what you've done, how many people you've talked to, how many prayers you've prayed, how much Bible reading you've read. Every day they'd have to report to that prayer partner to see how spiritual you are, and if you weren't, they would get on to you. That's not liberal, folks. That's ultra. It's almost a cult. And the church there started with about 120 and grew to over 1,200, mostly young professionals from Gainesville, from the University of Florida. And when these people would leave Gainesville and go home to their home church and find us sitting on our good intentions, they would stir things up. So much to split some churches. It later got so bad that it changed because one man left that congregation and the thing started going downhill. The preacher left. The one who had actually brought all this in. He went to Boston and started the movement there, Boston movement. Anyway, that's another thing. But it was always interesting to me how one man can have that kind of effect upon 1,000-plus people. And they would follow him and they would do whatever would need to be done. That church had two elders at the time, by the way. And they later repented. We didn't realize what was happening. We're sorry it did. We let it go too far. We should have been more concerned. But anyway, whatever. But the church caused a real problem. One man who taught another man, who taught another man, and that was their idea. Don't follow the man. Follow the Lord. Love your preacher. Love Andrew. Love John. But now, just because he's our preacher doesn't mean he knows everything, right? Just because he wants us to go this way doesn't mean that's the way to go. Check it out. If it's all right, then let's do it. If not, then no. We have been blessed to have a new preacher, a good preacher. I've listened to all of his sermons so far. Haven't they been good? How can he keep that up? Going to see that he does. But got to be careful following a person. And a person can come in and lead us astray without really any problem. Verse 6, but, here it comes. But this you have, that you hate the deeds of Nicolaitans, which I also hate. Who hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to churches. To him that overcometh, I will give to him from the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. That skipped verse 4 altogether, didn't it, for some reason? I don't know why. Verse 4. Nevertheless, there it is, I have this against you, that you've left your first love. Is that indicting? Yes or yes? What's your first love? That's God, isn't it? Then shouldn't that be God? Isn't he our first love? You've left God? You were doing things. You were being patient. You're checking out people. You were finding false teachers and keeping them from the... You were doing a lot of good things, but something was missing. And that was their love. God's a spirit. They that worship him must worship him in spirit and what? Truth. You can have the truth and still not worship God right. We don't have instrumental music. I think that's right. I think that's the truth. But you can sit in the pew and never worship God in song. You can even sing the songs and not worship God. I know parts of a lot of songs. My girl says I don't know any song completely, but I know I can usually get through a song without looking at a book or checking all that. And the problem with that is I may not be thinking about what the song's really about. When we get up to lead a song, folks, we need to all be, I can't carry a tune in the bucket. Didn't say that. He said sing. Make a joyful noise. And you can be in the right building, the right church, doing the right thing, and still not worship God. Even though that worshiping going all around you. Where's my heart? Where's my soul? Where's my spirit in this? Can you remember back when you were baptized? Can you think back that far? Are we too old to think back? I know I forget a lot of things, but I remember that. I was 16 years old, and the devil had me really good. And I said, I can't. I'd pray at night, Lord, don't let me die tonight. Please don't let me die. Because I knew if I died, I'd be lost. Brought up in the church all my life. I could quote Acts 2:38 as good as anybody. But the devil had me. So at 16, though, I said, that's enough. And I was baptized. I remember how I felt coming out of that water. Do you? You mean all my sins? All my sins. Everything I've said, everything I've done, everything you've said, everything you've done. all forgiven that I repented of, all of them. And coming up feeling clean and pure and right before God. And excited. I'm ready to go tell people about it. The next day, everybody at school knew that I'd been baptized. What's happened to that fervor? What's happened to that feeling? What's happened to that knowledge of knowing I'm clean, I'm pure, I'm forgiven, I'm a child of God? Has that love and luster waned in your heart too? I don't know how many people I've baptized. Probably 1,000 plus. And I don't remember how many times once I baptized someone and they came up out of the water, first thing they did was to hug me. Why would they do that? I'm just an agent. I came home with more wet clothes than I can remember. Have you lost that luster? Have we left our first love? What do I do? Remember verse 5, therefore from whence you have fallen, repent, that means to change direction, and do the first works. Do those things that first got you. One of the first works was reading the Bible, studying God's word, making the change, seeing the need for the change. Do the first works. For else I'll come to you quickly and remove your candlestick or candlestand from its place unless you repent. What's he going to do? Well, this isn't the second coming because he's telling, if you don't do it, I'm going to do it. What I'm going to do. What's the candlestick? That's the life. I'll remove your spiritual life. Now, he's writing to the church. He's telling the church, unless you repent, go back to your first love, do the first works, I will remove my candlestick, my candlestand from that church. How many churches in and around Montgomery have you known that are no longer there? My favorite work as a preacher was in Cocoa, Florida. Church there was 5 stories tall. It had a basement, which is unheard of in Florida, but it had a basement and classrooms on classrooms, and it was a beautiful auditorium. It'd seat 500 or so. Just a beautiful place. If you go to Cocoa right now, you won't find the Central Church of Christ. You'll find Community Church. And all the people I really work with and converted and baptized have now moved to Rockledge, Florida, which is about 6 miles down the road. In the church at Cocoa, I wouldn't know anybody there except the preacher. Breaks my heart. Why would they turn? Why would they change? Verse 6, but this you have, that you hate the needs of Nicolaitans. Don't know exactly what the Nicolaitans are, from Nicholas probably, teaching a false doctrine. They're going to be mentioned later on as well. But he said, I also hate them. If you have an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him to overcome, I will give to him to eat of the tree of life in the midst of the paradise of God. Where's the first time we hear of the tree of life? In the garden, right? If you remember, once Adam and Eve sinned, they were cast out of the garden. Cherubims were put there so they with flaming swords so they couldn't re-enter, that they might not eat of the tree of life. And now it's been transplanted where? In heaven. It's written in the last chapter as well. So the tree of life, that is, will live forever. And to the church of Smyrna write, these things saith the first and the last, who are the dead and have come to life. Who was dead and came to life? Jesus Christ. And this is Jesus speaking, by the way. I know your work, your tribulations, your poverty, for you are rich, and I know the blaspheme of those who say they're Jews and are not, in the synagogue of Satan. Do not fear any of those which are able to suffer about... let me read it again. Do not fear any of those things which you are about to suffer. Indeed, the devil is about to throw some of you in prison, that you may be tested, and you have tribulation 10 days. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you a crown of life. He has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says. The churches overcomes shall not be hurt by the second death. Any condemnation, the church at Smyrna? Of all the churches, is one that's no condemnation. Let's read again. And to the angel of the church at Pergamos write, these things saith he who has a sharp two-edged sword. Have you heard about that before? Sharp two-edged sword. Do we have a sharp two-edged sword that we carry around? Hebrews chapter 4 talks about that. What is the sharp and two-edged sword? The word of God. It pierces the heart and the bone and the marrow. It can cut. I know your works, where you dwell, where Satan's throne is, and you hold fast to my name, and did not deny my faith, even the days when Antipas was my faithful martyr, who was killed among you, where Satan dwells. I'm a martyr, or may your version may have witness. Who was the first Christian martyr? Stephen, right, Stephen, in Acts chapter 7. But I have a few things against you, because of those who hold the doctrine of Balaam have taught Balak to put a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed to idols, and to commit sexual adultery. If you remember the letter that's written in Acts chapter 15 to the churches, this is to be taken around to all the churches. And what was it? Well, you want to be circumcised, one thing. What was the other two things? Don't eat anything sacrificed to idols. And what else? No blood. Don't eat blood, or drink blood. Okay. What else? Yeah, be sexually pure. Same thing that was mentioned in that letter. Thus you also have those who hold the doctrine of Nicolaitans, which I hate. Repent, or else I'll come to you quickly and will fight against them with the sword of my mouth. That's the word of God. He who hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him overcome, I will give some of the hidden manna to eat. I will give him a white stone, and on the stone a new name, which no one knows except him who receives it. The promise if you repent. So let's go on. And to the church at Thyatira, these things saith the Son of God, who has eyes like flame of fire, and his feet like fine brass. I know your works, your love, your service, your faith, and your patience. And as for your works, and the last are more than the first. Nevertheless, I have a few things against you, because you've allowed the woman Jezebel, probably not the real Jezebel of the Old Testament, but like unto her, who calls herself a prophetess, to teach and beguile my servants to commit sexual immorality and to eat things sacrificed to idols. Ephesus had a real problem with the goddess Diana. And part of the worship to her was prostitutes who would give themselves, and that'd be worship to God. And so that sexual immorality fits not only there, but here as well. And I gave her time to repent of her sexual immorality, and she did not repent. Indeed, I cast her into a sick bed of those who commit adultery with her in great tribulation, unless they repent of their deeds. For I will kill her children and death, and all the churches shall know that I am he who has stretched the minds of the heart, and I will give to each one of you according to your works. But you say I have and to rest and Thyatira, as many as do not have this doctrine and have not known the depths of Satan, and as they call them, I will put them on other burdens. But hold fast what you have till I come. And he who overcomes shall keep my works until the end. To him I will give power over the nations. He shall rule them with a rod of iron, and the potter's vessel shall be broken to pieces. Any of you ever do any clay, working in clay? I know that, who am I thinking of? Clyde, thank you, Clyde Etta does. She's doing a piece now that, well, I don't know the whole thing, but I was allowed to make the box for it to stand on, but what you see downtown with, that's all Clyde Etta. Starts with clay. She molds it and makes it and fixes it. And so the potter would make it to whatever the vessel would be, but if there was a flaw in it, he'd take a rod and break it and destroy it, because that's exactly what has to happen. He shall have a rule them with an iron rod, and the potter and vessel shall be broken to pieces. I also receive from the Father, and I will give him the morning star. He got an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. So let's read on. And the church at Sardis write these sayings, saith he, the seven spirits of God, the seven stars. I know your works. He hath a name that you are alive, but are dead. That's kind of damning, isn't it? Wonder if University Church has a name in town that we're a live church. I would think yes. I would think yes. But could we be called that and still be dead? Church of Sardis certainly was. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die, for I have not found your works perfect, complete, mature before God. Remember, therefore, how you have received and heard, and hold fast and repent. Therefore, if you will not watch, I will come unto you as a thief in the night, and you will know what hour I come, and I will come unto you. If you have a few names, though, in Sardis, they have not defiled the garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. He who comes shall be clothed in white garments, and I will not blot out his name in the book of life, but I will confess him before my Father and before his angels. Yet near let him hear what the Spirit says to churches. Is your name written in heaven? Well, if you've been baptized into the blood of Jesus, I think yes. Can your name be blotted out from the book of life? He says, unless they repent, their name's going to be blotted out. Just because I'm a child of God now doesn't mean I'll always be that. And to Philadelphia, let's skip down to verse 14. I want to just mention the church of Laodicea. Church of Laodicea, write these things, saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning and creation of God. I know your works. You're neither cold nor hot. I would that you were cold or hot. So that because you are lukewarm, you're neither cold nor hot, I'll spew thee out of my mouth. There are 3 degrees here. There's cold. I think if you're a cold member, how would you describe a cold member? Could they attend services and still be cold? Are they completely away from God? Well, let me ask this. What would be a hot member, an on fire member? Well, I would think they would attend all the services. I would think they would read their Bible. I would think they would share the gospel with those around. I would think they would live a Christian life in the community. I would think they would give as they've been prospered. I would think they'd do all the things they possibly could that the New Testament describes for them to do. They'd be on fire. So what's left? The third element. Not cold, not hot, but lukewarm. No, I'm not all I should be. I'm not telling people about Jesus. I'm so busy in my life. But I go to church on Sunday. I go every Sunday morning. You may not be there. I may not come to Sunday school. You're here. But I'll make it at 10 o'clock. I'll eat the Lord's Supper. I'll bow my head and I'll sing some songs, a few of the songs. I'm just not really on fire for it. Now, I'm not against God. Well, if you're talking about closing this building, I'm on a, up in arms. I'm not against God. I'm just not doing all I should do. Now, let me ask you, and I'll ask myself the same thing. Which one of those three, cold, hot, or lukewarm, fits me? Well, I don't know. For you, I know for me. If you're lukewarm, he says, I'll spew you out of my mouth. When I eat soup, I like it to be hot. Even Cracker Barrel. They're changing Cracker Barrel. What's going on? Anyway. I've sent the soup back a few times. I said, can you make it so it's hot? Can you put it in the microwave? I don't care what you do. Just put it in the microwave. Heat it up. I like hot. I don't like lukewarm soup. My daddy owned a drugstore. We had soup, and when I put that thing in the little machine he had to heat it, boy, it was hot and it came out. Not the way I think soup's supposed to be. Not lukewarm. Not lukewarm. Jesus says, lukewarm makes me sick. So, I'm not cold. Oh, I've been baptized. I give a few bucks every Sunday. I pray. I say a prayer for the food. Say grace. I'm not really on fire. Then where do I fit? Of all the condemnations of all these churches, I think Laodicea has the worst. Because lukewarmness is just what it is. And nobody will know. Nobody know I don't pray like I should. Nobody knows my heart's not really where it should be. I'm just a good old boy. Mama says a sweet boy. But God knows. And I know. Surely. We have 3 daughters. 3 son-in-laws, 13 grandchildren, and all of them are faithful members of the Lord's church. I don't know what we did, but thank God we did it. And they're raising now our great-grandchildren in the church. I don't know what the key is. I think being consistent. Being a preacher, I was always at services. My job. I remember one day, one Wednesday night, Cammy Jo, our oldest, was sitting down watching TV, and I was getting ready to go, and I said, Cammy Jo, get ready. It's time to go to church. She said, do I have to? And I said, absolutely not. So I went back in, brushed my teeth, came back out. She's still sitting there. I said, Cammy Jo, get ready, get dressed, honey. It's time for church. Do I have to go? I said, no, you don't have to. Went back in, put my tie on, had to have a tie. Came back out, there she sat. I said, it's the third time I'm telling you, get ready to go to church services. She said, you said, Daddy, I don't have to. I said, you don't have to. She said, see? I said, you get to. And once you get from have to get to, once that changed, once that flipped over, then there was never a question anymore. Worship should be a get to, not a got to. Ah, I've got to go to church. It's Sunday. No, I get to. Got to sing. It's singing class. Get to. Got to go Wednesday night. No, I get to. I think the consistency helped more than anything else. So, I would advise you today, if you find yourself even a little bit lukewarm, to repent. To repent. And go back to your first love. And be what you know God wants you to be. Showing your family, showing your wife, your husband, your kids, exactly what God wants you to be. Father, we're thankful that you love us. Even when we are lukewarm, even when we've lost our first love and left it, even when we don't find ourselves walking in the light, that you still care about us. Help us, Father, to repent, come back to you, come back to truth, come back to your love. In Jesus' name, and amen. Brother Billy should be back with us next week. And we'll start back. He may want to go over these churches again, but we'll start back in Revelation.